Welcome to our deep dive today.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be tackling a question that people have been debating for centuries.
Okay.
Can we have both equality AD freedom? We're going to be exploring this
Okay.
using a discussion from the 1980s
Right.
featuring the influential economist Milton Friedman
Okay.
and a panel of other experts.
Interesting.
Now, you might be thinking, 1980s?
Yeah.
What's that got to do with me today?
Yeah, exactly.
But stick with us because these ideas are surprisingly relevant
Right.
to our lives, even right here in our own community.
Yeah, it's amazing how these fundamental questions
Yeah.
about how society should function
Right.
keep popping up
Yeah.
no matter the decade.
Right.
And this discussion starts off with a real attention grabber.
Okay.
Friedman comes right out and says,
What's that?
life is unfair.
He doesn't pull any punches, does he?
No, he doesn't.
I mean, he literally compares Muhammad Ali's boxing skills to Marlene Dietrich's legs to make his point.
Yeah.
It's a bit jarring, but it does get you thinking.
Sure.
Is it inherently wrong for some people to just be born with advantages?
Yeah.
Whether it's talent, wealth,
Yeah.
or just dumb luck.
That provocative statement leads into a crucial distinction
Okay.
that Friedman makes:
Okay.
equality of opportunity versus equality of outcome.
Right.
It's not about everyone ending up with the exact same amount of wealth or success,
Okay.
but rather about ensuring everyone has a fair shot
Okay.
at pursuing their
I
goals.
see.
Friedman argues that a free market,
Okay.
while allowing for unequal outcomes,
Uh-huh.
actually creates more opportunities for everyone
Right.
to improve their lives over time.
So it's like saying instead of trying to divide a pie into perfectly equal slices,
Yeah.
we should focus on baking a bigger pie.
Right.
So everyone potentially gets a bigger piece,
Exactly.
even if the slices aren't exactly the same.
That's a great analogy.
Thanks.
Friedman believed that the free market,
Uh-huh.
while not perfect, creates a rising tide that lifts all boats.
Right.
He argued that government intervention,
Okay.
especially when aimed at enforcing equal outcomes,
Yeah.
could actually stifle innovation and economic growth,
Right.
ultimately hurting the very people it intends to help.
Right.
He was very much a proponent of individual initiative
Right.
and minimizing government involvement in the economy.
But wasn't he challenged on that point by others on the panel?
Yes, he was.
Like, didn't Francis Fox Piven argue that governments are always shaping economic systems,
That's right.
whether they're actively promoting equality
Right.
or just maintaining the status quo?
Exactly.
What does she mean by that?
Piven was highlighting the fact that governments set the rules of the game, so to speak.
Okay.
They decide things like tax policies,
Right.
regulations, and social safety nets,
Okay.
all of which have a huge impact
Yeah.
on how wealth is distributed
Right.
and who benefits. She was pushing back against the idea that a truly free market could even exist,
Okay.
arguing that government involvement is inevitable
I see.
and can be used to either reinforce existing inequalities
Right.
or create a more level playing field.
So even something like setting a minimum wage
Yeah.
or providing unemployment benefits is a
Exactly.
form of government shaping the economic system.
Exactly. Those policies directly impact the relationship between employers and workers
Right.
and influence how wealth is distributed.
Okay.
Piven was particularly concerned with the impact of free market capitalism on developing countries.
Okay.
She argued that the focus on unrestricted markets
Yeah.
often benefits wealthy nations
Right.
at the expense of poorer ones,
Yeah, okay.
exacerbating global inequality.
Ah, so she was taking a more global perspective,
Yes.
while Friedman seemed more focused on the US and other developed economies.
Right.
And speaking of which, they had a pretty lively debate about Britain's post-war policies, right?
Yes, they did.
Okay, so tell me about that.
Friedman argued that Britain's attempts to create a more egalitarian society through social programs and welfare policies
Okay.
actually hampered its economic growth.
He did.
He pointed to things like nationalized industries
Look.
and high taxes
Right.
as examples of government overreach that stifled innovation and entrepreneurship.
Okay, I see.
But then Peter Jay countered that argument
He did.
with data showing that Britain was actually outperforming the US economically during that same period.
Wow. So it seems like both sides were using statistics to back up their
That's
claims.
right.
So what are we supposed to believe as listeners?
That part of the discussion is a great reminder that we should always be critical
Okay.
Of how data is presented.
Right.
It's often possible to cherry-pick statistics to support a particular viewpoint.
I see.
So as listeners, we need to look beyond the headlines.
Okay.
And ask ourselves who is presenting the information, what their agenda might be, and what data might be missing from the story.
It's like that old saying.
Yeah.
Error, lies, damned lies, and statistics.
I mean,
right.
Exactly. Yeah. But statistics can be incredibly valuable when used responsibly.
It's true.
In this case, it highlights the fact that complex economic issues rarely have simple answers.
That's for sure.
The relationship between equality, freedom, and economic performance is multifaceted.
Right.
And there are often valid arguments to be made on both sides.
So we've got Friedman arguing for minimal government intervention and a focus on individual freedom.
Yes.
While Piven emphasizes the role of government in addressing inequalities.
Right.
It seems like they're approaching this fundamental question from very different philosophical starting points.
That's a great observation.
Thanks.
And that leads to Friedman's concluding point.
Okay, what's that?
That a society can only truly serve one ultimate ideal. He challenges viewers to consider what they value most.
Yeah.
Equality or freedom.
Yeah.
And he questions whether these two ideals can truly coexist.
Wow. That's a pretty profound question.
It is.
I mean, they both sound pretty important.
They do.
But it sounds like he's saying we might have to prioritize one over the other.
He certainly seems to think so.
Okay.
And that's a question worth pondering, especially as we think about our own community.
Right, yeah.
And how these ideas play out in our daily lives.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
We've been exploring these ideas on a global scale.
Right.
But now I'm wondering how they connect to what's happening right here in our own backyard.
Yeah.
Maybe we can unpack that in the next part of our deep dive.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Let's shift our focus from the global to the local.
Okay.
And explore how these big ideas about equality and freedom translate into concrete actions and choices within our own community.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Let's do it. So we've been talking about these big concepts of equality and freedom.
Right.
But now I'm really curious to bring it down to earth a little bit.
Okay.
How do these ideas actually play out in our own community?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And it's where things start to get really interesting. You know, because it forces us to move beyond abstract theory and look at the concrete realities of where we live.
Exactly. Because it's easy to talk about equality of opportunity in a general sense.
Sure.
But what does that actually look like in practice
right
here in our town?
Exactly. For example, when we think about Friedman's idea of a free market creating opportunity, we have to ask ourselves, does everyone in our community actually have equal access to that market?
Yeah. Does everyone have the resources?
Exactly.
The education, the transportation, the social networks to truly participate and compete.
That's such a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, even something as simple as reliable transportation could be a huge barrier for someone.
Oh, absolutely.
Trying to access job opportunities or educational resources.
Yeah. And those are the kinds of things you need to be paying attention to locally.
Right.
Where are the disparities? Mm-hmm. Who's being left behind?
Right.
And what are the systemic factors that are contributing to those inequalities?
Absolutely. It's not just about individual effort or talent.
Right.
It's about recognizing that the playing field might not be level for everyone in our community.
And if that's the case, then what can we do about it?
That's where Piven's emphasis on the role of government becomes relevant.
Okay.
She would argue that we need to look at local policies and initiatives that can address those systemic barriers.
So are there programs that provide job training or affordable housing?
Exactly.
Is there adequate public transportation?
Right.
Are schools adequately funded?
No.
And providing quality education to all students.
Those are all important questions.
Regardless of their background.
Yes.
So we're talking about things like supporting local initiatives that promote early childhood education.
Right.
Advocating for better public transportation options. Or even just volunteering our time. Or organizations that are working to address inequality in our community.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that we have a role to play as citizens.
Right.
In shaping a more equitable society.
Yeah.
And that starts with being informed about what's happening in our own backyard.
Right.
And taking action to support initiatives that align with our values.
And I guess that also means paying attention to the decisions being made by our local government, right?
Absolutely.
Like zoning laws, tax policies,
right,
and funding decisions for schools and social programs.
Exactly. Those decisions have a huge impact on people's lives.
Yeah, they do.
And often the most effective way to create change is by engaging in the local political process.
So that could mean attending city council meetings,
yep,
contacting our elected officials, or even running for office ourselves.
Exactly.
So it sounds like we need to be both thinkers and doers.
I love that.
Yeah.
Thinkers and doers.
Yeah.
That's a perfect way to sum it up.
Yeah.
And remember, we don't have to have all the answers,
right,
or tackle everything at once.
Right.
Even small actions can make a difference.
Yeah.
Especially when we join forces with others who share our values.
I like that.
Yeah.
Starting small. Building momentum,
right,
and working together to create positive change.
Exactly.
Yeah. It feels much less daunting that way.
It does.
Yeah.
It's about finding our own unique way to contribute based on our own skills, passions, and resources.
You know, maybe we're great at organizing events.
Right.
Or maybe we're better at one-on-one mentoring.
Exactly.
The important thing is to find a way to engage that feels authentic and meaningful to us.
Absolutely.
So instead of feeling overwhelmed by the enormity of these global challenges,
right,
we can focus on making a tangible difference in our own community, step by step.
I love that.
It's like planting a seed and watching it grow.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
And just like a seed needs the right conditions to thrive.
Right.
We need to create a supportive environment in our community where everyone has the opportunity to reach their full potential.
So what are some concrete examples of how people are already doing that right here in our town?
Yeah.
I'm sure there are amazing initiatives and organizations already working.
There are.
To promote equality and opportunity.
Yeah.
Are there any that come to mind?
Absolutely. In fact, there's a local organization that I think perfectly embodies this idea of thinking and acting locally.
Oh, okay. I'm all ears.
Well, it's called Bridging the Gap.
Okay.
And they focus on connecting people from different socioeconomic backgrounds through mentorship programs.
Interesting.
They pair successful professionals with young people from under-resourced communities, providing guidance, support, and access to networks that can open up opportunities that they might not have otherwise had.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
It's like a real world example of creating equality of opportunity.
Right. Precisely.
Giving young people the tools and support they need to succeed.
Right.
Regardless of their background.
And it's not just about career advice or resume building.
Right.
The mentors also act as role models, showing these young people what's possible.
Right.
And helping them develop the confidence and self-belief to pursue their dreams.
It's like they're investing in the future of our community.
Yeah.
By investing in the potential of these young people.
Exactly.
I love that.
It reminds me of that story from the Friedman discussion.
Oh, yeah.
About Lance von Allman.
Right.
The entrepreneur who risked everything.
To pursue his invention.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's that same spirit of innovation and entrepreneurship.
Right.
But with a focus on empowering those. Yeah.
Who might not have the same starting advantages.
So how can our listeners get involved with Bridging the Gap?
Well, they're always looking for volunteer mentors, of course.
Yeah.
But even if you don't have the time for that.
Right.
There are other ways to support their work.
Okay. Like what?
Well, they rely on donations to fund their programs.
Okay.
And they often host community events and workshops that are open to the public.
I'm guessing they have a website or social media presence where people can learn more.
Definitely.
Okay.
You can find them online at bridgingthegap.org.
Okay, great.
And I encourage everyone listening to check them out.
Yeah.
Even if it's just to learn more about the amazing work they're doing.
Right.
It's a great example of how we can put these big ideas.
Yeah.
About equality and freedom
right
into action right here in our own community.
That's a perfect note to end on.
It is.
So as we wrap up our deep dive today, I want to leave you with a challenge.
Take some time this week to explore what's happening in your own community.
Right.
Find an organization or initiative that resonates with you.
Yeah.
And find a way to get involved, even if it's just a small step.
Uh-huh.
Because as we've learned today, even small acts of engagement can have a ripple effect.
It can.
Creating a more just and equitable society for all.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
You're welcome.
And remember, the power to make a difference starts right here, right now.
Right.
With each and every one of us.